So, Kat, I'm happy you're here in Freiburg, and I know you are from Denmark, living in the USA. Can you tell us how this happened?
Yes, I was visiting in Arizona with my husband Henrik, who's also a Reiki master, and my father had moved there a few years before, and it was Easter, and we woke up one morning, and Henrik said, "Why don't we move to Arizona?" And so it was very much a matter of following intuition and trusting in this idea. So that day, we actually made the decision to come to America.
How long ago is this?
It's 9 years ago, this autumn. And it so happened that my father could arrange for me to work in his company. So I had a work permit, and Henrik was working in Europe, and then we applied for the green card lottery, which we found an interesting option, and it so happened that we won it. And so when we had that, we could start our business, which is Triune Institute, which does teachings of healing arts.
And, that's great. So that sounds like it had to happen in a way.
Yes, it was, pre-planned.
Yes, pre-planned, meant to be.
Absolutely.
So can you tell something about how did you come to Reiki, or how did come Reiki to you?
This was back in 2000, and I was in a completely different life. I call it my past life in this life, my life before Reiki.
Okay.
And actually, I had everything you could dream of, house and holidays and good job. Everything was very good, but there was this little candle inside of me that didn't get any oxygen. So it was like the flame was withering away. And I decided to call up a friend of mine who lived in Paris in France at the time to talk to him, because he's sort of a soul brother, and I needed some sort of advice. And I hadn't even told him how I felt. He said, "It's amazing you're calling. My cousin was just here visiting over Easter, and she woke up one morning with a message for you." I said, "Oh, what was that message?" And he said, "I don't know what's going on, but she said, you have to stand still for a very long time before you'll find what you're looking for." And this message was very, almost like a puzzle for me to understand what this was about, because I felt I was standing very still, and I had been for quite a while. So he said, "Yes, I don't know what this is all about, but you might want to talk to her." And I had only met her once, and I was not into all this spiritual stuff, and I did not know that she had this ability to get information from spirit.
Yes.
So she explained that she was waking up with this message, and for me to understand that everything that was around me was really there for me, and I had this whole understanding that I had separated myself from the oneness. So that was the beginning. And she said, "Well, there'll be more messages." So the next message was that I was to, and she got that channeled down, that I was to buy a book of blank pages and travel to a place where I was alone, but where there were other people I could mirror my soul in. And then I was to write letters to those I hadn't said goodbye to, and to those I needed to say goodbye to, and to those I wanted to meet, and to the darkness and the light within myself. And that would be the beginning. And she said, "I see that you have to go to Positano in Italy." And I said, "Oh, where's that?" She said, "I don't know. I've never been to Italy."
Oh, it's like a mystic travel,
I know,
isn't it?
I know. So, you know, I could choose, do I want to do that or don't I? And I chose to do it, and I went. And to make a long story short, I was walking every day on the mountain of the Amalfi Coast, which is very, very beautiful and very spiritual, writing these letters. And I was reading the book of Paramahansa Yogananda, his biography. And this picture of him on the front page was on this, in this book. I would read it every morning. And the lady who had this place, was, her name was Teresa, 3 days before leaving, I was there for 21 days, 3 days before leaving, she comes over, she points to the book, and she says, "Ah, il grande maestro, ich liebe viel." And she lifts her hands to me, she says, "Reiki." And I look at her thinking, what is up with this woman, this Catholic woman in this little city? How does she know Paramahansa Yogananda, and what is Reiki? Mm-hmm. So I took my dictionary, the mm-hmm. Italian-Danish dictionary, to look up Reiki. Of course, it was not in there. And then over the course of the next day, she explains it to me. She says, "Ah," she points to a scar inside of her hands. Sehr, sehr schlimm. Mit Reiki nur 7 Tage und alles wird gut. She spoke German, obviously. And then, and then she lifted her hand. She said, "Reiki ist etwas für ein lieber Mensch wie du." And I thought, how can she know that I am loving? I could be a killer. How does she know? And then the last day, as I was paying, she brought me copies of the hand positions. And she said, "Now you read these. I want them back, but you read these." So I thought, okay, this is about healing. And that was the probably, I could understand getting messages and all that, but the healing was very, what is this? And I went back and I took my Reiki 1. And it changed everything in my life. It's the best thing I ever did.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the story, as short as I can make it, because it is a long story.
Yeah, I believe. Yes, so you were sent to Italy to come back to get the message to to learn Reiki.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's really a mystic travel.
It was, yes. Wow. And I feel very blessed for listening, for doing it.
Yeah,
for trusting.
Yeah, taking the courage to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we could talk more about this, but I have some more questions.
Yes.
So now that's an easy one. What brought you to Freiburg?
Reiki brought me to Freiburg. Last year, there was the OGM retreat, the Office of the Grand Masters retreat in Idaho. And this circle of Reiki students, both level 2 and master candidates and masters, was from all over the world. And there was a very strong connection, particularly to three people here in Freiburg. You, Krishna, of course, and Astrid and Lars, your wonderful Reiki master candidates. And Astrid and I certainly had some sort of recognition, and she was very, very sweet in arranging for me to come here and do some of these sessions that I do.
Yes.
And to work around some other healing modality called thought field therapy. That didn't really work out, but that was fine. Because that gives me time to just be here and enjoy this beautiful city.
Yeah, so it's Reiki brought you here.
Absolutely.
It's a connection through Reiki, yeah.
Yes.
That's one of my experience too, the wonderful connections you get with just practicing and getting to know people and just getting in touch.
Yes, and
that's
this
beautiful. For
it
me,
is
to me
too.
It's really beautiful. Yeah.
Absolutely, and this thing that it doesn't matter what your history is or where you come from or what you did. It's, it's just seeing the spirit behind the human being and being in that loving energy of Reiki.
Yeah, yeah. That's what's happened already in a first degree course.
Yes, yes.
And it keeps on happening. That's so beautiful.
It is.
Okay, let's go back to the USA. You told me you are involved in a project called Reiki Home.
Yes.
So I want to know something about this.
Yes. Well, the Reiki Home project came about through the circle of the, around Phyllis Le Formoto, who was our lineage bearer, the Grand Master of Reiki. And she collected people who were interested in supporting her and the lineage and Usuishi Kiryoho. So there's been meetings over the last 3 years in this circle around her, about 50 people. That it has changed a little bit, the circle, but there's sort of a core there. And the circle, including Phyllis, got this idea to put effort into establishing a physical home for Usuishi Kiryoho. And this is very exciting because, as you know, it's all oral tradition and there is no place for the archives and for all that. So what came about was a wish for all of us to have a place that would support Phyllis's activities and where we could present what Usuishi Kiryoho is, because it is the basis of Reiki in the Western world, because that's how Yeah. All the different systems came out of that when Takata brought it to Hawaii many years ago. And so to have a place where you can go and look at the pictures and see the files, and where Takata's masters can bring their information so that we keep it and have a place where we can hold that sacred.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we're working on a project for it to happen in Arizona, where I live and where Phyllis also resides currently. And it's very exciting. And a lot of energy and hard work is being put into it by many Reiki people currently.
Yeah.
So hopefully when I come back, which I hope I will, we can say something more specific about it.
Yeah, maybe can you tell us something about the site, like the physical...
Yes, well, appearance. We're working towards this particular place in Tubac, which is south of Tucson. Mm-hmm. Quite close to the, fairly close to the Mexican border.
Okay.
So Arizona is a state that's in the southern, southwest part of the U.S. And the place is an old, it's called a dude ranch.
A dude ranch
was a place where the local farmers and people in the area would come to hang out for the weekend and relax.
So that has already a kind of traditional meeting.
That was the original of it, as best I know.
Okay.
And then there's been this couple who have owned it for many years who have also been into healing arts. And they are very, very keen for this to be the place for Reiki.
Mm.
So the earth there is healing earth. And it is a very spiritually aligned place, energetically.
Yeah.
It's a very beautiful area in the mountains down there. So there's lots of sky and lots of space. It's very beautiful. And the ranch itself is where you eat, and there's a living room, and there are also some rooms there. But otherwise, the accommodation is spread around with casitas where you can stay.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is for the ranch to be a self-sustained area.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of Riojo, which is sort of Rioja, which is sort of a dried-up flood,
mm-hmm.
there's another big area of many acres where there are some houses located. And mm-hmm. this is the area we want to turn into the Reiki home.
Mm-hmm.
So there are actually two different things going on at the same time, where the ranch supports the Reiki home,
okay.
in essence.
So it's like a workshop place of seminars and meetings, and then like in a living space.
Yes, well, it's different little houses,
mm-hmm.
and the idea is to have a Reiki spa where people can come and receive Reiki treatments, and to have a meeting space.
Mm-hmm.
We hope we can build a round meeting space.
Mm-hmm.
Where we can teach, where teachers of Usui Kyoho can come and present maybe also other healing modalities or other traditions, meditation traditions or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and to have some dormitories there where people can sleep, and of course have the archives and have sort of an office or a place for Phyllis to do her thing. But there won't be anyone living in the Reiki home.
Okay.
It won't be... She's not moving there. She's staying in her house.
Okay.
So
it's not planned that that Reiki people live there, just come, stay for a while, and then leave again.
Exactly. So it's not like permanent.
Like the Usher Resort in Pune.
Yeah.
Usher liked us to come there and rejuvenate and relax and get strength whenever we need it, and then go back.
Exactly. That's how the idea is. And then, of course, out of all of this, we have many ideas for ways to include students and to do things. Because the big question with this is really, well, here we put this place in Arizona. Now for, let's say, some of your Reiki 1 students,
mm-hmm.
how will they ever have the opportunity to go there?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's far away and it would be expensive. So we're also talking about how we can have this physical home visible online or in other ways so that you can still link into it and feel the energy of it. And
okay.
maybe do activities there that are by video, so you can still, you know, live video broadcasts or things like that, that no matter where you are on the planet, you can
have
still...
Like a worldwide connection.
Yes, so, exactly.
And you can't be there physical.
Yes. And another really important objective is to come back to the respect for nature and for our planet. Mm-hmm. So there is a project alongside all of this to introduce the principles of permaculture there, mm-hmm. so that we nurture the ground and grow our own things and take care of the water. There are wells on the property, own water.
Oh, that's good.
So ultimately, if it could be completely self-sustained, we would be able to show the world, you know, this is possible to do if you put effort into
it. Like a little autark community somehow. And there's lots of sun, I suppose.
Oh, yes.
You could even work with solar energy.
Actually, there is already, for the pool it is, but there is solar energy for the pool.
At least for that, that's good.
Yeah, that is at the ranch.
Yeah. So that brings me to my next question. Mm-hmm. As we all know, recently thousands of Japanese have lost their homes caused by the tsunami, earthquake, and the atomic catastrophe in Fukushima. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea how the American people react to this? Mm-hmm. Because here in Germany there's a strong reaction, as you might have realized.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my question is more, does it make the American people more aware of the threat of atomic or nuclear power plants?
That is a really good question. I wish I could just scream yes.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I wish that too.
But I am not sure. I'm really not sure. Mm-hmm. See, as I have come to understand the way the average American looks at it, they are probably more concerned with their own safety than the concern of the planet as such. And in my experience here in Europe, we are to a big extent, I say we because I'm still European and I will remain that always.
Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to be more aware and take more consideration into these things. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's been extremely heartwarming to see how the German people have embraced this and have taken it seriously, that this catastrophe has really set off ripples in the water for you to say, no, we're not going to let this continue.
Yeah.
I've been away because I was in Denmark teaching Reiki prior to my trip here to Freiburg, so I have not followed the American news over the last 4 weeks.
Okay. Is there something like an anti-atomic movement like we have here in Germany since 30 years or
something? I'm sure there is, but it's not very visible.
Okay.
It hasn't been very visible at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's hard for me to give you updated information
right now, in the country.
And I'm sure that the spiritual aware community, as it is spread out, is doing a lot in circles and sending good healing thoughts to the water and all of that.
Mm.
But politically, America is a funny or strange sort of constellation.
They're like strong blocks, like conservative block, Bible, girdle, and then these more open-minded people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's been, for Obama, as I have understood it, been rather difficult to get his goals across for many different reasons.
Yeah.
So where Japan ends up in this whole humdrum of everything that's happening in America, I'm really not sure. Mm-hmm. But they have a lot to take care of in their own country.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't know to what extent their calling would be. But I would hope that they would help and do something.
Yes, okay. Mm. Yeah. You know, especially when you do a spiritual practice, I mean, then you realize that you are connected to everything.
Yes.
And there was a lot of discussion if it would be better to be political or spiritual, and for me it's like both, and it's like blending, and you know, because then if you not feel connected with nature or with your neighbor or with people around you, then you won't do anything to make it better for them. But it includes you, that's what we forget. We are so individualized.
Yeah.
Here, especially in Europe, I think maybe America too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think very much more so in America, because at least here in Europe there is some sort of social security. So mm-hmm. most of us know that we're not just left in the street if we get ill.
Yeah.
And people will help us.
Yes.
And you can go to school and not be ruined, you know. You can send your kids to university and they can have it. In America, you have to pay for everything. So it's a very fear-based society in that, oh, will I be able to afford it, and what will happen, and will what's going to happen to my retirement, because you have to make money yourself. There's no Social Security, no pension, no nothing from the state.
Nothing.
Yeah. So their whole mindset is much more that of, okay, I need to gather. I need to make sure I have what I need. Because the trusting in the greater oneness is just so invisible or not present.
Even their basic needs, they are not served.
No, exactly.
Basic needs is health.
Yes.
Health, and of course when you retire, when you're old, that you have some kind of support.
Yeah.
So you need that. Okay, so lots to do for America, right?
Yes, and a lot to do for Reiki people, because and I totally agree with you that the minute we realize that we're all part of the same thing, everything changes in the perception. We can't just sit back and say, well, me, what do I need? And it is this, how can I service the planet? And we each do it in different ways.
Yes, we do. So, yes. I think we are really, Reiki is a big, big present in our lives, I may say so.
Yes, absolutely. For me, it's the biggest one.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah,
and
it
really has changed my life, and I feel humbled and blessed and very grateful, particularly because when I wrote my letters of the ones I wanted to meet, it were people that I meet through Reiki, people like you.
Oh, thank you very much. I think I'm going to stop this, and you know.